Hello again, everyone. This is Darren Duff, and today's podcast, currently it is December 10th, 2005, on a beautiful Saturday, a nice crisp Saturday, and today this podcast is going to be called Grooming of a Guide Dog. And I know we have spoken on Blind Cool Tech about several different guide dog things, but I don't think Larry's ever done one on grooming the guide dog. And Kenya, it's time for Kenya's grooming for today. I groom him every day, and so I figured I would do another podcast. I did one last night on the Roomba Discover, which I'm sure you've more than likely all heard by now. And today is going to be the one on grooming of a guide dog. So we're going to go through this fairly short process of grooming a guide dog. And I've got Kenya here with me, my guide dog of 10 months now. I think it's been, 10 months? March, April, May, yeah, 10 months. Wow, it doesn't seem like we've been together for 10 months, but we have. Now, we have three tools for grooming the guide dog. We have two brushes, which I'll explain how they look. And then we also have a curry comb, which is a stainless steel comb. In fact, I'll explain it first. It's just like a regular comb like we would use on our hair, except it's a bit longer, and it's all stainless steel. It's got several teeth on it, and it's all stainless steel. And we just use that for combing out tangles in his hair, which Kenya doesn't have many tangles in his hair. He's a short-haired Lab Golden Cross. He's mostly lab, but he's got some Golden Retriever in him as well, but he's all black. He looks like a lab. He has short, wavy hair on his back, which makes him look like a golden. And then, it's not short, it's longer. And then he has, his tail's a little bit bushier than a lab's. And he's over here looking at me now saying, "Are you going to groom me?" "Yes, I'm going to groom you, buddy. I'm going to be on the podcast. You're the star today, bud." "Yeah, you're the star today." So that's the comb. And there are two brushes here. The first one I'm going to explain to you is called the Slicker Brush. And this is the brush that we start with. This brush is T-shaped. The head of the brush is plastic. And the bristles are very coarse bristles, actually. Excuse me. And they're made out of some type of short, stiff wire. And you have to be very careful with this brush. I know several times I've gotten one of the bristles stuck under my fingernail, and it bled. So it's kind of sharp. You also have to be gentle when you're brushing the dog with it too, because you can scratch their skin with it. I've done that with Kenya a couple times, and it hurts him when I do that. So kind of have to be gentle with it. The handle of the brush is a nice, thick handle with a rubber grip on it. It's really easy to grip it and hold it, especially if you have sweaty hands or, you know, cold hands or whatever. And the other brush, that's the one we start with there, the Slicker Brush. The other brush is called the Finishing Brush, and it sort of has a kind of a oval-shaped head. Maybe it's more like a square with rounded edges, actually, I guess. And the bristles on it are softer, much softer, compared to the Slicker Brush. And they're flat bristles, and this brush we use second over the dog to remove any hair that the Slicker Brush doesn't get. This brush is actually a surface brush for the coat, and it takes dirt and, you know, whatever may be on the surface of the coat, and basically makes it shine. And the rubber handle is the same type of rubber handle that's on the Slicker Brush. It has a nice thick rubber grip to it. And Kenya is laying down on my feet. He's ready to go outside and get groomed. He loves to be groomed. He stands still for it. Sometimes he gets excited. He loves to be groomed. And now the clock you just heard, I know you've probably heard this clock on a few podcasts. And I'm going to explain this clock to you shortly before we go out, in case you guys are wondering. It is a German clock. It's a German antique clock. It's sort of rounded shaped on the top, and then it kind of comes down to a slant on either sides. You can open up the face of it and feel the hands. And Kim actually got this for me as a wedding gift. It's really nice. The year on it's 1970, so it's not that old. But we got a really good deal on the clock. And it's one of those clocks that you have to open up, and it's got a little key that you put in it, and you have to wind these three little gears that you can access by opening up the glass that's on the face of the clock, and you wind it once a week. And it chimes, and it's really pretty. I know you guys have probably heard it on a few podcasts, so just wanted to explain it to you. It's really neat. We got it at an antique store for $30 for the clock, but the insides were all messed up, so we paid $200 to get the insides of the clock replaced. And it was about $250 when we got finished with all of it, but that's a good deal on a clock like that. Okay, Kenya, let's see if it's warm enough that I will need a jacket, or if I can go out here. We're not going to be out here that long, so I think I'll just come out the way it is now. We're stepping out. Come on, Ken. We're stepping out onto our patio. Come on, Ken. You out here? We're stepping out on our patio, which is the same place where I did the smashing of the AOL disc podcast several months ago, which I thought was kind of cheesy, but it wasn't several months ago, it was just last month. I thought it was kind of cheesy, but several of you expressed on the list how much you liked it. And Lynette expressed on her podcast how much she liked it. Come here, Ken. So we got some leaves on this patio that I'm going to remove because Kenya likes to eat them. And this is a railed-in patio. It's about 10 foot by 5 foot. And I bring Kenya out here with no leash, because I don't have to leash him when I brush him. He's just got his collar on with his tags on him, the collar. And I'm going to start with the slicker brush. He's standing in front of me with his head to my right and his rear to my left. And I'm standing on his right side, obviously. And I'm getting ready to... Right now, I'm just lightly brushing my hands over his coat, feeling for any things that might be on the outside of his coat. Like, I always do this for ticks and for different things like that. You can probably hear the train whistle blowing in the background. And I'm starting with a finishing brush, and I'm going from his head down his back and just brushing the hair down with the grain, not against the grain, but with the grain, down toward his body. And we're just... You brush like you're painting them, so I'm doing long strokes down his back. And he's looking at me like, oh, that really feels good. And we're going to do the full works on Kenya today. We're going to brush him, comb him a little bit, brush his teeth, give him his daily vitamin, which I'll talk more about. And we will clean out his ears as well. And he's stretching. He loves to stretch while he's being groomed because I guess it feels good. Now I'm going to squat down here and get his right side. I tried to do this podcast last Saturday, but the battery in my Olympus WS200S went dead, and about halfway through the, through the podcast. So, unfortunately, I was unable to do that one. I was very upset when, because last week was the first of the month, and I got to do the front line, and, hey, come here, buddy. What are you moving for? Come here. I got to get your right side. Come here. Stand right there. I think he went to chase after a leaf. There's a plane going overhead. It's gonna kick in the automatic gain control on my Olympus. So, but I wish there was some sort. I'm getting the left side now, just brushing with the slicker brush down the left side of his body. I wish there was some sort of battery indicator, some sort of beeping warning or something like that on the Olympus to let you know that the battery was going dead. I know it does it when the recording is full, and when your memory is full, rather. Hey, come here, Ken. Stop chasing leaves. Come here. He likes to chase leaves because they get blown around by the wind. He can be very distractible sometimes, but he's a good hard worker, aren't you, little buddy? He's stretching his back legs. We want him to get through doing that before he... Now I've got both his back and both his sides brushed down. Now I'm going to brush his chest. And when I'm not doing a podcast on this, I groom him every day. And I'll explain why it's good to do that. But when I groom him once a day, it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to do that. And he's a good doggy. And it's good to do it every day, and I'll tell you why. I'm cleaning out this brush now with a comb. It's good to do that every day because not only does it keep them smelling good and feeling good and very presentable for situations where you have them around people, and I pretty much do every day because I work in an office. And that reminds me of another thing I want to do. I want to do a career profile for Blind Cool Tech pretty soon here. But not only does it keep them looking good and feeling good and clean, there are two other reasons why you should do it every day. Number one is when you brush them, it spreads the oils that are naturally in their coat. It spreads them throughout their body and throughout their coat. And that's one thing that keeps them shiny. Of course, he eats ions, and that keeps them shiny too. I'm cleaning the clumps of hair out of the comb. Got a lot of hair in the comb here. But the other reason is, if you brush them every day, you only have to give them baths about, I think in the 10 months I've had Kenya, I gave them a bath maybe 3 times. And that's because grooming them every day helps them to smell clean. I mean, even when Kenya gets soaking wet, when he's been in a rain shower or something like that when we're walking, he doesn't smell like a wet dog. He kind of gets this weird, perfumey type sweet smell. It's almost a good smell. And I think it's the oil in his coat that gets brought out onto the surface of the coat when it rains. And come here, bud. Come on. I'm doing the finishing brush now. Come here, you need to turn this way. She's using my hands to turn his body. And once again, he's standing with his head on my right side and his rear to my left, and he hasn't moved. Stop. Well, correction, he is moving now. He sees leaves blowing out on the sidewalk. Turn around straight. He's got his body curving to the left, and I can't brush him. Head up. Head up. Head up. Now rest. He is from the Seeing Eye, and he's my first guide dog. I think I mentioned that. Okay, now I'm taking the finishing brush, and I'm going down his back. Now, I don't use the, should mention that I don't use the slicker brush, obviously, on more sensitive parts of his body because it's so coarse. So that's where I use the finishing brush. For example, I don't use it on the tail because it's very sensitive, at least to Kenya. And so now I'm going to use the finishing brush on his tail, and he holds his tail in the air. I'm going under his rump, brushing his hindquarters. And but it's really weird because when it rains, he gets this really sweet smell, and it smells rather good. And I do keep him very well groomed. It's very important that you keep the guide dog very, very well groomed. I'm brushing the right side of his body now, kneeling down here on the cement. And the middle of December here, I guess it's probably about 40, maybe 50, 45 degrees out here. And I'm in a long sleeve shirt. I don't have a jacket on. It's rather nice. I wouldn't want to stay out here for a prolonged period of time, but there's no breeze kicking up, so I don't know if the mics are picking this up. You may hear the rustling of our Santa Claus air dancer, which I have hung up on the front of the patio. It's over my head. It's a Santa Claus that it's kind of like it's made out of canvas with wire on the inside, and he's hanging from the ceiling. He has streamers down, come down from, he blows in the wind. So it's kind of like a 3D Santa Claus. He looks like he's blowing in the breeze. He's moving around, and he makes kind of a rustling noise. Not to tell you about all of our Christmas decorations. So I'm going on the left side of his body right now with a finishing brush. And just making him slick. And he gets real shiny when I groom him. Like a new car, don't you, buddy? And, I was going to tell you about the three tags that are on his collar. He has one tag that says, "Seeing Eye, Morristown, New Jersey." And I got that from, it was on his collar when I got him, brushing his belly now. And his favorite thing in the world is a belly rub. And the second tag is shaped like a milk bone. And it has, it's blue. I got it made for him at Walmart, one of these tag machines. And it says, D. Duff. So my first initial, my last name, and it has my cell phone number, should he get lost. And the third tag states, it's a round plastic tag, and it states that he has been microchipped. And what that means is that I took him to the vet shortly after I brought him home, and I had a microchip injected in him between his shoulder blades. It's under the fatty layer of the skin. It's about the size of a grain of rice. And they can't track the dogs with this chip, but what they can do is if they find this dog and they see that tag that says he has a microchip embedded in him, it just got a lot quieter out here. That air conditioner turned off. But if they see that dog has a microchip embedded in him, they can scan that chip and it will tell them his number, and they can look it up in their database and see that his name is Kenya. He's a black lab golden cross, and he belongs to Darren Duff of 50 Creekside Drive. And so it basically gives them information about your dog. And he also has a tattoo. The Seeing Eye puts a tattoo in their right ear. It's deep down inside the ear. It's a number tattoo, and it's stamped on the inside of his ear. Come here, bud. Now we're through the brushing, but we still have some things to do with the grooming. One thing that the Seeing Eye recommends that you do to the dog when you're grooming them on a daily basis is to check their weight. And you don't have to use a scale or any tool other than your hands to do this. You take your hands, you stand, I like to stand on the right side of my dog with his head away from me. So I'm facing the back of his head, and I take my hands and kind of fan my fingers out and run them down the sides of his rib cage and feel the fatty layer of the skin. And you can sort of feel the ribs, but they're not too prominent, which is, of course, what you want. You don't want their ribs to be showing. Stand still, Kenya. And then you feel his profile of his chest. And Kenya's well built. He's about 63 pounds, about 23 inches tall. And the back behind the rib cage is their hip area, where the body kind of thins out. And if it thins, then that's a good thing. That means he has a good figure, and his does. If it doesn't thin, if it's kind of the same or chunkier, that means they're probably gaining too much weight. So you can quickly check their weight just by running your hands down their body. And it's a good idea to do that when you're grooming them anyway. For one reason, they like it. And for another reason, I'm massaging his back now, and he's just stretching. He loves us. For another reason, you can feel for ticks and other things that might be on their skin. Now I'm going to bend down on his right side, and can you show me your paw? Good boy. I tell him to show me his paw, and he lifts it up, and I can check the pads of his feet and between the toes to make sure that they're not split or scratched, or they're not tender. And check his toenails. They don't need to be clipped. I do not clip his nails myself. Show me this one, left one. Good boy. I take him to the vet, and they file him down. Most dogs, at least in Kenya's case, he doesn't like to have his feet messed with. Show me the back one, bud. This one. Good boy. Now, one time he had a piece of, I don't know if it was chewing gum or left one, but show me paw. Show me paw. Come. Attaboy. He had peanut butter or chewing gum stuck inside of his, one of his pads between his toes, and so I used a little bit of ice. Made that come off just right. Now sit. Now, one thing I'm going to talk about, and I don't know if he'll sit here long enough for me to talk about this. I'm going to check his ears. Rest, can you? And a good way to check for ear infection is to sniff the inside of the ear. And that is because the sooner you smell the ear infection, the quicker you detect it and the quicker you can do something about it. I'm going to sniff his ears. Come here, bud. That one smells fine. Let's do the left one. Come here. Good boy. I hear church bells. Okay, let's go inside. And the reason that if you sniff the air and it smells doggish or doggy, then that's okay. But if the air has a bad smell to it, then it's probably a sign of ear infection. And you probably need to clean it out really good with the ear solution and maybe give him some medicine for it in the ear. And we're actually going to clean out King's ears. I'd like to do it once a week because he tends to get some debris collected down in there. We'll go over how to do that. We're also going to brush his teeth. In fact, I think we'll do that first and give him his medicine. Now, his daily supplement, we'll go ahead and give you that first and then we'll brush your teeth, bud. This supplement is just like a vitamin that we would take. It is called, they're called Derm Caps. And I'm not sure exactly what vitamins they have in them, but they're good for dogs. And doesn't matter what time of day you give it to them. Now to me, when I open up the bottle to get him one out, they smell absolutely horrible. I mean, I hate the smell of them. And yes, when I did get them, I opened them up and sniffed them. I don't know why. Now you need to sit. Sit, and he's sniffing the bottle. He thinks they're treats. He doesn't understand that it's a pill. Now I'm going to explain how to give a dog a pill. What you do is you press your hand, okay, behind their canine teeth, which is the teeth on the top. They're, you can recognize what they are if you have a dog, whether it be a little or a big dog, and you feel their top sort of front teeth. Not very front teeth, but toward the front. You'll feel two teeth on either side, that one tooth on either side that are kind of prominent. Those are the canine teeth. Behind those teeth, there's a gap. In that gap, you put your thumb and your forefinger, one on each side of the dog's mouth where that gap is. You press that gap to pry their mouth open. It does not hurt them. You take your other hand, you put your forefinger, in this case my right hand, behind the peel, and you stick the peel down their throat, and it does not hurt them. I got some people coming back into our house here. Kim and the lady that cleans our house, they're coming back. So I have to unlock the door. She doesn't know we're doing a podcast. She comes and cleans our house.
Did you hear us?
Yes, I heard you.
Come on in. Was my big mouth?
I heard you. I'm not going to say it was your big mouth, but I heard you. Trying to put me on the spot there. Come here, Ken. Now you rest. I'm going to give you your pill.
Here, I'm going to hang it right here, Kimberly, where you had it before.
You struck the throat of the dog to make him swallow after you give him the pill. Rest. No. Rest. Rest.
Yeah, I'll get that too.
I put my pill down his throat. And you stroke their throat when you put the pill down so that they swallow it. And wait until he licked my hand, so he took it. We're doing a podcast now, Dad.
Here's your bank card.
Grooming Kenya, thank you very much. You got me some cash?
Yes, in my purse.
Okay, I'll get it from you in a bit. Thank you very much. And the lady you just heard, who does not know she was on a podcast, is the woman that comes to clean our house once a week. She's giving us a free cleaning as a wedding gift, so a really sweet thing for her to do. And now that we've given Kenya his pill, we're going to brush his teeth.
Can you do that in the restroom because we've got some more stuff to do?
Yeah, I can do that. I sure can, babe. I have no problem with that at all. And I'll take his ear cleaning stuff in there as well, so I can do that. And I can podcast and nobody here.
Not a one.
Not a one, huh?
Nope, nothing.
I have a hard time getting that key in there, Patsy. Do you?
What's that? Excuse me?
In the mailbox, I have a hard time getting that key to go in. Do you? Boy, I do.
Oh, right in.
Well.
Took a guy's down there. Yeah, a bunch of mail was in.
Really?
I was thinking, Is this a new kind of mailman? I mean, yeah.
There's always somebody out there. Yeah, there's always somebody out there that is checking their mail. Okay, I'm going to get... I'm going to get Kenya's ear cleaning stuff. And, ouch. Just stuck my finger, one of the bristles on that. That slicker brush. Where is your... Oh, here's your toothbrush stuff. Quit sniffing the bag. Silly boy. I'm looking for your ear cleaning solution. I have to rummage around this bag to find it. There we go. I'm going to keep taking care of Kenya. I'm going to go in the bathroom, though, or at least the bedroom. It's okay if I go in the bedroom, Ken? Yeah. Okay, we'll go in there and do it in there. Come on, Ken. Let's go finish cleaning you up. Come on, in the bedroom. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Get in here. Okay. So now we're in our master... Whoops. Rest. Stay in here. Stay in here. Okay, we're in our master bedroom now so we can continue the podcast. I'm like Larry. I like to do these real time without pausing. It just makes it more realistic. Maybe a little less unprofessional, but who cares about that, right? Okay, I have his... stuff we use to brush his teeth and his ear cleaning solution and pads. And I'm going to explain how we do this. First, we're going to brush his teeth. I have a canister of 40 teeth cleaning pads. You get these for about $5. They're really cheap. And I don't like using doggy toothpaste because it really makes a mess. So I use these pads. They're called Petrodex teeth cleaning pads. And they are pads that have a powdery substance on them, and what you do is you wrap the pad around your finger and you don't spread their mouth open or anything like that. You just stick your finger in the cheek pouch of the dog's mouth and clean the outer part of their teeth and behind their molars. Behind their molars is actually the hardest place to get because it's like you have to do it without letting them open their mouth. And actually, the most difficult thing about using these teeth cleaning pads is getting them unfolded. I can't talk this morning, guys. And so that's what I'm trying to do now. They're folded in squares. They're really thin. And what you do is you take the pad and you wrap it around your finger. And then it's easy because you just stick your finger inside their mouth and you can feel what you're doing. And they also make finger toothbrushes for dogs, not just guide dogs, but dogs. Actually, you can use these pads on cats or dogs, or I don't know of anything else you'd want to use it on. Your fish. No, I'm just kidding. Your pet piranha. Make sure you brush your piranha's teeth every day. Now I always make Kenya lay down. Down. No, down. Three, down. Now sit. Now down. Always make him lay down because it's easier for both of us. Kenya's a very energetic dog, and he likes to eat these pads. So what I do is I take my thumb, I put it on the upper part of his muzzle, and my forefinger's on the underside of his jaw, and I just enough pressure to hold the mouth closed while I run my finger in the left cheek pouch and along the gum line and teeth and the right cheek pouch. And once I get started, pretty good at letting me do this. I don't know that he likes to have his teeth brushed, but he lets me do it. And he gets bad breath too, and this really helps his breath. He's got death breath, man. Goodness gracious, dog. Smells like something crawled up in there and died, buddy. Sorry, guys. Probably a little more information than what you wanted to hear. Okay, now we're done brushing his teeth. And I just take the pad and throw it away. It's really easy to do, really quick. And a couple other things that I have for Kenya that help him in keeping his mouth fresh and clean. I have a large bone that I actually called the dinosaur bone because it is so big. It's a big bone. It's a Nyla bone, which is the only thing they recommend you give in your dog. They don't recommend that you give them rawhide or pig ears or cow hooves or anything of that sort because it's not good for their intestinal tract. It's not good for their digestive tract. Rawhide is not good for your dog, whether it be a guide dog or not, because it may taste good to them, but it gets, they don't digest it. It gets caught in chunks. It gets chewed up into chunks, basically, and it gets hung in their intestines and whatnot, and they can throw it up, and it can lodge in their intestines. It's not good for your dog, so if you have a dog, don't feed them rawhide. That would be my recommendation. Don't feed them greenies either. Those teeny greenies or any kind of greenies that are not good for them either. So, just in case you don't know, don't do that. Or I wouldn't recommend doing that. It's not good for them. Another thing that Kenya has is a dental Kong. A Kong is a rubber toy, and it is used for them to chew on. You can even put peanut butter inside the Kong, and they'll have fun trying to get it out. You can entertain a dog for hours that way. And the dental Kong is shaped like a bone. It's open at either end. It's actually hollow, to tell you the truth. And the dental Kong is different from any other Kong because it has ridges on the outer surface of it so that when they're chewing and biting on it, playing with it, it also cleans their teeth. So it's kind of like doggy dental floss. So that's really good. Now we're going to clean Kenya's ears, and this is the last thing that we're going to do on this podcast. And what I have here, I have a bottle of, it's called Odecleanse, which is standard dog ear cleaning solution. And it's a 5-ounce bottle, I do believe. And then I went to the store and I bought a bag of cosmetic pads, which are standard square cotton, whatever they're made out of, cosmetic pads that you use to put on makeup, I guess. And what I do, come here, Ken, come here. He's laying on his bed over there. Come here. His bed's in here with our bed. Come on. And what I do, no, do not sniff the solution. He's trying to lick it too. Lay down. Come here, sit. Sit, bud. Come on. Sit. Good boy. Rest. Now, what I do is I open up the bottle. It's got like a same kind of top on it that a glue bottle does. You just twist it and it opens up. And then you take one of these pads and you just dab a little dab of solution on the pad and you hold the ear away from the head. Stop, can you? Sniffing the pads. He thinks this is very fun. And you hold the ear up. In Kenya's case, he's a floppy-eared dog, obviously, because he's a lab. And you hold the ear up and away from the head so that you can get down inside the ear structure. And you can poke your finger as far as you can down their ear to clean it. You have no danger of damaging their eardrums because dogs' eardrums are way down behind their... Get out from underneath the bed. Are way down behind their, inside their ear, rather. So I'm going down inside his ear, and he actually loves this because he gets a lot of debris inside of his ear. And another good thing to do if you find that they have a lot of debris inside their ear is pour just a little bit of solution into their ear and then take your fingers and massage around the base of the ear to loosen some of that debris. Don't listen to this podcast while you're eating, by the way. And then you can go in and clean it out. And if you have any vision whatsoever, you'll see if you get the white cosmetic pads, it shows up better. I don't have any vision, so I can't see it. But you can see the darker spot of the residue where it comes out of the ear. And what I do is I just put my finger inside of his ear and I sweep toward the bottom and back up to the top so the debris doesn't go back down in the ear. It gets swept down on the flat part of the ear, which we can wipe off and then throw away. That's one ear, and he'll shake his head because he gets some of that solution trapped down inside of his ear, and he'll shake for quite a while getting the solution out. And depending on how dirty your dog's ears get, you may want to do this once or twice a week. Now, one thing I can tell you about floppy-eared dogs, bacteria love to thrive in their ears. They don't have good ventilation, the ears that is. So they get real hot on the inside, and so bacteria love to thrive. It's a party house for bacteria. The ear. Come here. Come on. I'm not done with you. Come here. Ken, up off the bed. Come here. Come on. Kenya, come on. Come on. Come on, we gotta clean out the other ear, you goofy dog. Now he thinks I'm playing with him. Kenya, come here, bud. He's under the bed. He thinks I'm playing with him. No. That's enough. I'm not through cleaning out your ears. He's not coming to me. He thinks I'm playing with him. Come here. Come on, let's go see Kim. Come on. Let's go see Kim. Come on. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Come here, Kenya. He thinks I'm playing with him. He won't come to me. We gotta clean out your left ear, you nutty dog. Come here. See what I got. Come on. Come on, come on. Kenya. He is being unexceptionally a brat for you guys today. He's running from me. Come on, get in here. Get in here. Come on. Go. He's totally being a brat. I can't get to him. Let me pause the recording so that I can get him. He's under the bed. And I'll come back once I've retrieved him from under the bed. Okay, I got him. Out from under the bed. He gets rather bratty at times. He has quite a personality. I know I need to do more daily obedience with him than I do. And my excuse for that is my life gets busy sometimes. And I do not get a chance to do daily obedience with him as much as I would like. So, and I can tell you firsthand that doing daily obedience with your guide dog is a good thing, because they will mind you. Kenya's really good at minding me for the most part. But when he doesn't want to come to me, he won't come. And you have to... I had to, just then, while I had the recording paused, I had to chase him down, which is why I'm out of breath, and correct him for his actions. And he's sitting here in front of me now, being a good boy, sort of pouting, because you can play after we get your ears cleaned, buddy. You'll be all done. And you can romp and play as much as you want, but for now, you sit where I put you. Okay, so we're into cleaning the left ear now. And I'm putting a little bit of solution on the pad. And we're going to put the left ear out from the, pull it out from the head and get down into the ear canal and just sort of clean it out. Now, he really likes to have his ears clean, so I've never seen him act like that before. Now he's leaning his head toward me. He really likes this left ear cleaned out. He's kind of grunting and groaning. I don't know if you can hear it on the recording. But he likes this now. He's really enjoying this. And it's important that you wipe out all the folds in the ear. Get them good and clean. There we go. Now you're all done. You can shake and bake and do whatever else you want to do. Now he's a perfectly groomed, perfectly dressed up doggy. His coat is shiny, his ears are clean, his teeth are spotless white. In fact, the vet always tells me how nice his teeth look compared to a lot of other dogs that he sees, because I brush them very carefully and very meticulously when I brush them. So that is my podcast on grooming of the guide dog. Any comments or suggestions, feel free to contact me on the Blind Cool Tech email list, which right now I'm not able to access because my laptop has crashed on me. And hopefully I can get that remedied. Or you can contact me at my regular email address, which is dduff@hyperband.com, hyperband.com, and that is all lowercase. So, for Blind Cool Tech, once again, this is Darren Duff. I'll see you guys next time.